Well, we've always heard an old saying that we are what we eat. I'm sure you've heard that. So I'd like for us to talk a little bit this evening about eating habits and what you eat. So I'd venture to say that all of us here would find something peculiar about one another's eating habits if you just knew what each one of you ate or didn't eat. You might find that you, from your perspective, someone else might eat too much of something or not enough of something else, and we might be appalled that our acquaintances would or would not eat certain things. We talked a little bit at the dinner table today about some things that I've known of people eating that were, I don't know how they would develop a taste for. Different cultures have different things that are delicacies to them, and to me, it's, I know when I, first time I went over to Europe, I was really, I don't know, how you would say this, it was really talked up to me about eating smoked fish for breakfast, so I tried it. And I'm glad I wasn't raised that way. And it was the smoke flavor and all was so strong, and I got it. It wasn't a fishy thing, but I got the smoke flavor on my fingers. And although I washed my hands the rest of the day, or maybe even the next day too, it was like smoked fish. That's what I. Every time my hands got close to my face, that's what I, so it's fine. If somebody likes it, that's, I don't have a real problem with it, but we have different eating habits. That's the only point I want us to get from that. I wouldn't, if somebody enjoyed smoked fish for breakfast, that's, and the after effects of that, I'm not opposed to that at all. It's whatever someone would like. I'd like to turn to Ephesians, maybe the fifth chapter. And this chapter is talking about, my Bible says, under the chapter 5, it says of the priesthood of Christ. And the writer here to the Hebrews talks about the high priest of men in the old law system, and how that maybe we'll, he speaks a little bit about that beginning in verse 1. Maybe we'll go down to verse 5 beginning. It says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, was strong, crying in tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews, the fifth chapter. What did I say? I'm sorry. It says at the top of my page, Hebrews, so I don't know why I said Ephesians. Anyway, I'm in the eighth verse now, or beginning in the ninth verse. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You ever get tired of hearing something? Maybe we have. Maybe it's something that our parents are trying to instill in us and we get tired of hearing that. Maybe it's something that our companion or spouse has said over and over again and we get tired of hearing that. Maybe it's something that you hear over and over again at service and you're tired of hearing that. But he says here, of whom, or of Christ, this priest after the order of Melchizedek, there are many things that I would like to say to you, but it's hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. And now he's going to start talking about eating habits. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So he sets the stage of talking about Christ and how he is a high priest of high priest. He's not a high priest of men, but he's ordained of God, and God has spoken that this day have I begotten thee. He gives an argument or reasons of why Jesus is this high priest in a very spiritual sense. He is not someone that just was a man, although he was man when he was here. But he's not just a man or just merely a man. It was God in the flesh, and he is a high priest above and beyond any high priest. He says there's a lot more that I'd like to say. So it's like he's building up to something very significant of what he would like to say to them. But instead of continuing on, he has to pause because he feels like that the ones he's writing to here, he says, I just can't do that because you're dull of hearing. Your ability to take it in, your ability to understand is diminished. And the reason for that, he goes on to say, is that it's for the time had come for them that they ought to be teachers. But instead of becoming that, you still need to be taught yourself. And it's not just, all of us can learn, all right? And all of us can be taught. Doesn't matter how learned or how informed we are, there's something that we can still be taught in life and in our about our relationship with the Lord. But he said this is such an outstanding thing. It's not just that you're open for understanding. It's like you can't hardly get the ball rolling here. I'm still having to push it. There's no momentum in spiritual learning. He says to them, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, or the very rudimentary or fundamental things about God. It seems that they have to be taught again and again and again. And he said, ye are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong milk. Not of strong meat. So someone that needs, it's not just wants, but someone that needs milk is someone that is not able to maybe process or digest meat. Today was Drew's birthday, and we grilled some pork chops on the the grill, and it was really good. But Grayson was there, and we didn't offer pork chops to him. There's going to come a day, though, that I've got this confidence that Grayson's going to eat pork chops. But not today. He don't have enough teeth. He's not equipped for it. He doesn't know how to process it. And his little system is probably not quite ready to digest it. There was some extra spices and things on this and some smoke flavor and other things from being cooked on the grill. And he's not quite ready for it. But there's going to come a day that I'm going to be real disappointed if his parents still bring a bottle with him when he comes. You know, if he's big enough to spend the night with Papa and his mother and dad pack him up with several bottles of formula, I'm going to be concerned. You know, it's time for us to branch out a little bit. And so this is kind of the scenario that the writer here in Hebrews, he's talking about spiritual food. I may use some illustrations here this evening, but I want us to think about spiritual eating habits. He's talking here to those that have been exposed to the fundamentals long enough. We ought to be past just the bottle stage, just the nursing stage. He says here, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, what is he talking about, strong meat? I obviously believe he's talking about the meanings and scripture deeper than just the surface. The things that are in prophecy and the things that are in doctrine and understanding. He says, for strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, today, I wonder how many of us have maybe purchased some jerky. Now, all of us have probably preferences of flavor, but if you buy jerky, they make jerky out of, I think, ground meat. It's not the same as sliced jerky. If you buy just hamburger jerky, if you want to call it like that, it can be pretty tender and pretty chewy. It can have a nice flavor to it, but it's not like eating sliced jerky. Sliced jerky that's dehydrated and cooked, you probably want to make sure you've got, you know, your natural teeth, and because if you had false teeth, you might not be able to get a piece tore off. I mean, it's pretty tough. It's strong. It's not something for someone. I've got a hold of some of that. It's just pretty extreme how tough it is. But we eat it. We think it's good. We enjoy some really tough, strong beef jerky from time to time. But we don't feed that to our children either. Naturally, and spiritually, he says there's a time that to get to where you can enjoy that kind of spiritual food. So I just want to ask us here this evening, what's your appetite for? What are you looking for in spiritual food? I was thinking about meditating on this earlier in the week and a little bit, and just happened to think about baby food. You know, we'll get past the bottle and nursing, and And then the little children, we introduce them to something we call baby food. And I don't think any of us today really understand how that got to be. Because, you know, the mothers used to chew the food for the children. And then they gave it to them. And, you know, it's kind of, that's different. But that's what used to happen. I mean, whatever that brand is on the baby food, that hasn't always been available. And there's always been babies, all right? So you had to do something to introduce them to something besides just milk. So the mothers chewed the food, and then they give it to the baby. So you have smashed and smooth. That's how you introduce them to flavors like carrots and peas and all of those other things. It's smooth, it's soft, and you introduce it to that, and then they get up, step their thing up a little bit, and they have with chunks sometimes. So it's carrots with chunks, or sweet potatoes with chunks, or beans, or whatever it is. It's a new experience to get a child to open up and eat, take anything off of a spoon. And they don't know how to do it. It's like things come out better than they go in. And so it's a process. We have to learn how to eat something besides just milk. It's not just what our flavor is, but it's how do we go about it. So I just want us to think about your own personal eating habits tonight. And what is it that you really desire? Are you wanting it chewed by someone else to the point that you could really swallow it without chewing? Now that's ability to take it in. Or do you want it just smooth enough to where you only have to chew it a little bit? Or is it all the way to the point that you're willing to kind of take a bite and wiggle it a little bit until you get it tore off and then chew it up, spiritually speaking? You know, all of us here need to just stop and think about, what is my appetite for? What is my spiritual eating plate? You know, I think about the times I remember our children and watching our grandchildren now and start to feed them a little something, and it seems like that their tongue is just working backwards. You know, you put it in, get it in their mouth, and then their little tongue comes up and out comes the food that you just put in there. And after a while they get the hang of it, then the tongue works the other way and it kind of pulls it on in there a little bit. You know, what are we doing? If it's not smooth enough, if it's got a little chunk in it, if it's got, takes a little chewing, do we spit it out? Would we go hungry if we had to chew a little bit? Would we go without eating if we didn't get milk? I know that all of us that have raised children have had some kind of challenge in getting our children to eat. Very seldom do you have a child, and occasionally it happens, but very seldom do you have a child that every level of eating, it just seems like they're ready for it. And they just want to go, and they want to go from a nursing to a bottle, and they want to go from a bottle to taking mashed up sweet potatoes or whatever it is, and they want to go from that to chunks, and from that to eating whole kernel corn, and from that to meat and biting chicken off the drumstick. And it's just everything, it just doesn't always happen that way. Somewhere along the line, most children, and even us as adults, we're going to say, you know, I don't like that. That don't look good. I just can't imagine eating that. But compare that to our spiritual appetite. What are we doing? I don't know. That's just, you know, it's not smooth enough. It don't fit me well enough, so I'm not going to eat it. It's not something that I don't like the flavor of it. I don't like the smell of it. I'm not going to take it in. I'm not going to chew on it long enough. Have you ever chewed something and it seemed to get bigger instead of smaller? I have, naturally speaking. You know, sometimes we chew on something and something's not right. It seems to get bigger instead of smaller. It seems to get tougher instead of more tender. And maybe it comes to the point that we're afraid that we can't swallow it. So, it says here, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? To discern for both good and evil. Part of the thing that we have to do as we progress in our eating habits is we have to be able to know if we're chewing it, is this something that I ought to swallow or not? Is this something that's going to make me gag? Is this something that's going to be beneficial to me? You realize that I just don't think this is the right thing to do, to try to swallow this thing I've been chewing on for a while. Lord, help us in our cultivating a spiritual appetite to recognize not everything has to be swallowed. All right? But that's a long ways past just being handed something that's pureed to the point that you could drink it or chew it. All right? So some of the baby food is so smooth and so soupy, if you will, that you could drink it with a straw. You don't even have to use a spoon. So may the Lord help us to be willing to progress to the point of chewing and taking in something that has to be chewed, but yet have the wisdom, the discernment of whether we ought to swallow it, whether it is going to be good for us or not. Once we swallow it, we're pretty well committed. It's going to have its effect on our system. So I'm thinking here that we ought to carefully examine ourselves, our eating habits, our appetites, what we're willing to take in, and who we're willing to eat from. Lord, help us with that. But I was thinking about this. It says here, up a little earlier, it said that we've ought to be able to consume something more, but we've become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. So I'm an adult that still enjoys milk, cow's milk. And I like most any milk except skim milk. I like whole milk, raw milk, buttermilk, and I like a glass of any of it. It can be room temperature, and it can be cold. I don't like it watered down, but it just, as long as it's not what my mother used to call blinky, I like it. So, what is it about this? Where is the balance in all of this? I'd like to turn to another scripture. I'll try to tell you the right place now. I'd like to go to 1 Peter, scripture we're all familiar with. It's 1 Peter 2. He says here, beginning verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now we might say, well, these passages are written to new Christians, someone that hasn't been very long in the faith, and I might say, well, you're probably right. I don't have any reason to disagree with that, but I know this, that no matter how long we've been in life and how long we've been endeavoring to live for the Lord, the enemy is going to try to lay traps for all of us in the guise with the impact of malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings. Every one of those things is things that the enemy would like to tempt us with and distract us, whether you're coming out of a sinful state or whether you are someone that has been endeavoring to live for God for many years. There's going to be opportunities for the enemy to interject feelings that would draw us aside in these categories. So he says here, I want you to concentrate on laying these things aside. Don't allow them to become part of your character again. He says, as newborn babe, just like a young child that comes into this world desiring to be nourished with milk, just like they would, you have to have a desire for the Word. I personally still enjoy a glass of milk when I'm with breakfast. That just seems right to me. And, you know, your eating habits may be different than mine, but if you want to do it right in my eyes, then you have milk with breakfast. And if you have a piece of cake or a piece of pie, if you don't put ice cream on the pie, you ought to have a glass of milk. That's just what I think. That's my eating habits. And I just want us to realize here that no matter how old and how mature we are in our walk with the Lord, and how our eating habits have maybe developed into eating something like spiritual beef jerky or buffalo jerky or anything else that you might think of that might conjure up a thought of being pretty rugged food, all of those things, I believe, can be mellowed with the idea that we're never too mature in our spiritual walk. Then we're never too mature to not want to have some of the sweet, tender, soft, encouraging words from the Lord. It's just always a blessing when we can have something that just comes down like that anointing that was talked about in the Old Testament that went down over the head and off of the beard and completely down to the skirts of their garment. I believe that the Lord designed us to be able to advance our eating habits spiritually, and He wants us to. I want to encourage us all to cultivate an appetite for something besides just smooth, or smooth with chunks, or just maybe hamburger. I want us to cultivate an appetite for some steak, for, if you will, some roast, some jerky maybe. Maybe it's a thing that you can kind of nibble on if you're traveling or something like that. But I just want to encourage you to cultivate those kind of appetites, but don't ever get to feeling like you're so mature that just a simple little blessing from the Lord is beneath you. You know, sometimes we can get just crowded down with trying to understand and trying to gain knowledge and trying to chew some heavy, strong meat. And right in the midst of that, maybe we we turn and we open up to a scripture that maybe we learned as a child as a memory verse, and our mind goes back to what it was like to start out. And it's just like, to me, like a big glass of milk sitting down. I don't sneak off in the corner and take milk from a bottle. I want to make that real clear, but I still enjoy milk, all right? And there's nothing like open up the scripture and finding a verse that the Lord has used to speak to our hearts at maybe a simpler time and maybe early in our experience, whether it's the verse that teaches us to study to shew ourselves approved, or a verse over in maybe Psalms or Proverbs or something that was an encouragement to, it could be the shortest verse in the Bible that says Jesus wept. I think all of us learned that at some point as a child to say as a memory verse. And wherever it is, whatever it is, take that milk too. Don't feel like, well, I'm so spiritually adept that those little simple passages don't really need those anymore. I'm chewing on jerky all the time. But I just want us to stop this tonight. I want us to think about your spiritual appetite, what you are consuming, what you will consume, what you will take in, what you'll consider taking in. And I just want to challenge us to cultivate an appetite that'll be profitable and nourishing to our inner man. You pray for me.